How would you or how would we define success? I'd say for most people, when the word success comes up, the first thought might be financial success. I think that's probably a natural human tendency, that one of the first things we think about when we think success might be houses, cars, a good job, a career that you wanted. But for those God has called, we probably have a very different definition of what success will look like. Because what we come to learn once God has called us is that this physical life, it's temporary, isn't it? That money and houses and cars and all those things, they only last for a short period of time. So our ultimate goal, our ultimate purpose in life is far different than being wealthy. It's far different than having a lot of houses or a lot of cars or a lot of money. It's not financial success ultimately. Recently, I'd gotten into a high-level discussion on politics with somebody in the family. That's always fun, isn't it? Never know how that's going to go. Fortunately, we agreed on some things, and we disagreed on others. But one of the things that I was happy about after the conversation was over was that, you know what? Ultimately, I can rest assured that God's in charge, that I don't have to worry and stress and wring my hands about who the next president's going to be, because God has a plan of salvation. God has a plan for all of us. We have a different outlook on life. We have different goals for our lives than what most people do. But we do have a goal, don't we? We do have a vision of what success looks like. There is something motivating us, isn't there? It's not that we just waver through this life with no goals, with no hopes, with no aspirations. There's a quote by Robert Ringer. He was a well-known author and a public speaker, and the quote goes like this. He said, "Success is a matter of understanding and religiously practicing specific, simple habits that always lead to success." Success is a matter of understanding and religiously practicing specific, simple habits that always lead to success. And I think there's a lot of truth in that quote. If we want to be successful in our lives, we first have to understand what success is. What is the goal? What is motivating us? And secondly, and just as important, we need to develop the discipline needed to be successful. Once we know where we want to go, well, then we have to figure out, well, how do we get there? And that's what I want to discuss with you in my time this morning. I want to discuss motivation, and I want to discuss discipline. Motivation and discipline, what are they? How are they different? Is one better than the other? Or are they both important in our lives? Let's start with motivation. How would we define motivation? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines motivation as something that provides an incentive or a reason for doing something, to cause us to be enthusiastic, to provide us with a motive. Motivation is the reason we behave or we act a certain way. And when we talk about motivation, there are generally two categories of motivation. There's intrinsic motivation or there's extrinsic motivation. Now, intrinsic motivation is a desire that comes from within a person. It's a desire to be better at a specific activity or to accomplish a specific goal that we have set for ourselves. Now, extrinsic motivation is something totally different. That's something that comes from outside forces, like a desire for praise, a desire for recognition, a desire for financial incentives. For most of us, we probably get up and go to work every day because of extrinsic motivation, probably. Now, there are some people that absolutely love their job, and they do it because that's what they love doing. But most of us probably get up and we work because, why? I've got bills, I need a house, I need a car, I've got children, I've got mouths to feed. There's extrinsic motivation that pushes us forward many times. And as you can imagine, extrinsic motivation can be very impactful. But intrinsic motivation, something that comes from within, something that you desire, that you really want, can be incredibly powerful if it becomes woven into the fabric of our lives. If it becomes woven into who we are. Let's take a simple example. Let's say you want to set a goal that you want to run a marathon. Now, some of you may say, well, that sounds like a really painful goal. I don't know that I would set that as a goal for myself. But let's say, for example, you wanted to run a marathon. I'd probably be one of those people that say, well, I don't know, but let's say you do. You want to prove to yourself that you can do this incredibly hard physical task. Now, accomplishing that goal might motivate you for a period of time. But training for a goal like that takes a very long time, doesn't it? Experts say that you should be running at least a year, 3 to 5 times a week for a year, before you even begin training for a marathon. And so even after running for a year, 3 to 5 times a week, they say that it could take 4 or 5 months or more to train on top of that to run a marathon. It's not easy. It's not quick. So staying motivated for that goal is going to have its ups and it's going to have its downs. And you may have an exciting image of your head of crossing that finish line and reaching that goal, but the daily grind of putting in the work to do it, well, that's going to get hard, isn't it? And the motivation may wane. It may come and go. But if it's intrinsic, if it's something you really want and you keep it at the forefront of your thoughts, then that goal can help you motivate, can help motivate you and push you through those hard times when you don't want to get out of bed, when you don't want to run anymore. That intrinsic motivation can be incredibly powerful. Now, what is our goal? What do we have set in our minds as what we are striving for? What is motivating us on our spiritual journey? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Of course, we know that there are certainly examples of running this spiritual race. What is our motivation? What are we looking towards? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's the motivation we have in our spiritual journey. That's our goal. That's what success looks like for us. That's what we're striving for. Maybe some of you have heard of a vision board. Maybe some of you have put together a vision board before in your life. It's a tactic where people sometimes use this to keep their goals at the forefront of their minds. And so the idea is you take your vision board and you cut out pictures of things you want to accomplish. Maybe you want to be a doctor. Maybe you want to be a lawyer. And you cut out a picture of a doctor or a lawyer and you put it on your vision board. Maybe you want to save up enough money to buy a home. Or maybe you want to save up enough money for a car, whatever it is, and you cut out a picture of it, and you put it on your vision board. The point is, you sit down and you define what your goals are, and you put pictures of those goals on the vision board. It's a physical way to stay focused on your goal. What's our vision board? What's on our vision board? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Is that on our vision board? Is that the first thing that's motivating us? Or do I have other things that are taking a higher priority on my vision board? That should be our top priority. That should be the motivation. That's the goal. That's success. That's what we're striving toward. And what an incredible motivation that is. It should be the greatest motivation in our lives. So motivation is the reason we behave or react a certain way. How about discipline? How about discipline? What is discipline? When I use the word discipline, I mean being disciplined in our conduct, in our actions, not a discipline we would think of when we're maybe disciplining a child for bad behavior. What I'm talking about is self-discipline. Merriam-Webster defines discipline as control gained by enforcing obedience or order. Orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. Self-control. Discipline could be defined as being able to work or act in a specific way while adhering to standards and guidelines that work toward success in a specific area. So the simplest way we can think about discipline is discipline's tied to actions. Discipline is tied to actions. It's behavior. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's not just something we want to do or achieve in the future. It's what actions we actually take to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's discipline. That's the discipline we need as parents. That first and foremost, we write God's law on our hearts and in our minds, that it's first ingrained in who we are. And second, that we live up our responsibility to diligently teach them to our children. When we sit in the house, when we walk with them, when they get up in the morning, before they go to bed at night. That's discipline. That's not easy. That certainly doesn't just happen on its own. Those conversations have to be thought through. You've got to bring that up intentionally with our children, don't we? That's diligence. That's intentional. That's practice behavior. That's action that will produce the results God wants in our lives and in the lives of our children. There's a research paper that was published in 2005, and it was entitled, "Self-Discipline Outdoes IQ in Predicting Academic Performance in Adolescents." Self-discipline outdoes IQ in predicting academic performance in adolescents. And what the researchers did is that they studied 300 eighth graders. This was done by Angela Duxworth and Martin Seligman. The goal of the study was to understand what factors most accurately predicted academic performance. The conclusion of their research was that self-discipline most accurately predicted final grades, school attendance, and test scores. In fact, self-discipline accounted for more than twice as much of the variance as IQ. In other words, discipline in their lives and working hard and being diligent was more impactful on their academic success than IQ was. There was a stronger correlation between self-discipline and the outcome than there was between IQ and the outcome. It wasn't necessarily the students with the highest IQ that excelled. It was the most disciplined students that excelled. It wasn't about being the smartest person in the room. It was about being disciplined to do the things necessary to reach the goal and be successful. What they saw was you don't have to be the smartest person. In fact, even if you are the smartest person in the room, if you aren't disciplined in doing what you need to do to be successful, that IQ won't get it done all by itself. You have to be disciplined in the effort you put into accomplishing the goal. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1 and verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God has not chosen to call many mighty. He hasn't chosen to call many wise according to how this world measures wisdom. But the beautiful part is we don't have to be brilliant to follow God. When he reveals his truth to us, we must be disciplined to practice and to follow and to be thankful that he has called us and revealed his truth to us. We didn't figure it out on our own because of our amazing intellect. We didn't search the scriptures and do it by ourselves. We needed God to call us. We needed him to open our hearts and our minds. We didn't have to be the smartest person. But once we're called, there is a requirement to be diligent, to be disciplined. And we need to be thankful that he has called us. So discipline is tied to actions, the actions we take daily. So now that we've defined motivation and discipline, what are some of the key differences? First one I like to talk about is that motivation doesn't have to be taught, but discipline does. Motivation doesn't have to be taught, but discipline does. We don't typically have to learn to be motivated by things. Let me give you a simple example. Again, going back to being a parent, there are so many lessons we learn as being parents, aren't there? Let's take the difference between my sons and my daughter. So my boys love baseball. I didn't have to teach them to love baseball. Once they played it, they loved it. And so now, at the beginning of every season, a new baseball bat or a new baseball glove, that's motivating for them. That's something that they would love to have. That's something that they would like. But I didn't have to teach them to want a baseball glove or to want a baseball bat. They're motivated by that because they love baseball. My daughter, on the other hand, has no interest in baseball. But she loves dolls. She loves playing with dolls. She loves pretending. And so she's motivated by the thought of a new doll. Again, I didn't have to teach her to love dolls. It's something that she enjoys. Now, if my children come to me and they want a new baseball glove or they want a new doll to play with, if I tell my children that they have to work to get that doll, that they need to save up their money or they need to do some extra chores around the house, well, all of a sudden that changes the conversation a little bit, doesn't it? You might say, well, Dad, wait, you have money. Can't you just buy it for us? What do you mean? I have to do something for this? There's a requirement that I need to work or I need to save up or I need to do something for what I want? And I might say, well, how long is it going to take? I kind of wanted that baseball glove tomorrow. You say, well, no, you need to save up your allowance. It might take you months to save up. To buy something like this. We have to teach our children that in order to reach our goals, there is work, that there is effort that needs to be put in. Nobody reaches their goals without hard work and discipline. It's just not possible. We can't just snap our fingers and do whatever we want. Kind of reminds me of I Dream of Jeannie. You guys, I'm aging myself a little bit. Yeah. I watched it on reruns in my defense. I didn't watch the live. Yeah, so. But she did something like, right, she snapped and whatever she wanted just kind of appeared, right? That's not how life works, is it? There's hard work that needs to be done. We can't just snap our fingers and get whatever we want. Now, when we tell the kids, look, you know, if you want to earn this, then you need to do some chores. And if it's one chore, well, then they might do it with a good attitude. You know, say, okay, we'll pick up your room. And they might do that with a good attitude. But then if they're done with that, you say, okay, now clean, I don't know, the garage. Now help feed the animals. Now, the more chores there are, all of a sudden they start to say, man, I don't know if that glove's really worth it anymore. Because there's more and more and more work that I have to do. They have to learn, they have to be taught that there is work. Discipline is something we have to be taught. To persevere and to work hard. James chapter 1. It's easier to find something to be motivated for and motivated by. It is harder to learn the discipline needed in order to actually reach that goal or obtain it. James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Sometimes that's how we view things when we're young, don't we? Mom and Dad want me to help out around here? They want me to work? That feels like a trial sometimes when we're young, doesn't it? real hardship at times, but we have to teach them and we have to learn in our own lives and in our spiritual lives that there is incredible value in learning character when we endure difficult things. And discipline does not come naturally. It's something that is learned. Second thing about motivation and discipline. Motivation is the desire to achieve a goal, but discipline drives you to do what is necessary to achieve the goal. There's a clip that you might have seen from one of the Georgia Tech football coaches. He was one of the strength and conditioning coaches, and he's given a motivational speech to the football team during one of their team practices. And he's talking about winning, and the point of his speech was that in order to win, you have to be willing to put in the work. The hard work that is required to reach your goals. And he brought out that the challenge can be that in life sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes you put in all the work you possibly can and you still lose. Somebody still beats you. That in this physical life, things are not always fair. Sometimes you give it your all and someone else may still beat you in the game. But he emphasized that if you want the chance to win, you have to be willing to give it your all. And in his speech, one of the quotes that I love is, he said, "Are you willing to sprint when the distance is unknown? Are you willing to sprint when the distance is unknown?" And I like that quote because it emphasizes that if we want to win, we don't just jog, we don't just walk, we sprint. We give it everything we have. The challenge is, especially when we think about our lives and our spiritual journey, is we don't know the distance. I don't know how long I'll be here. And there is a challenge in that, is there not? I could say, look, I'm 38 years old. Maybe I live to 80. I can coast for 20 years maybe, and then maybe I'll get serious later on. Maybe once I retire. Maybe once the kids are grown. Maybe once I don't have all the work and the stress. Maybe then I can sprint. Maybe then I can get serious about things. There's a challenge with our human nature. Are we willing to sprint when the distance is unknown? And the opposite can be true too. Maybe the first love comes and I sprint hard out of the gate. And I'm trying to convert my friends and I'm trying to convert my family and I'm all in. But over the years I get tired. And the sprinting is hard. And maybe at some point I say, you know what, I don't feel like sprinting anymore. Are you willing to sprint? Are we willing to sprint? Am I willing to sprint when the distance is unknown? Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, of course, is a very interesting book authored by Solomon, a man that had lived one of the fullest lives in the history of mankind. He had it all. He had money, power, fame, wisdom. He had all things at his disposal. And with all these things, with all this wisdom that God had blessed him with, he set out to answer some of the burning questions of life. Why are we here? What's the purpose of life? And as you go through the book of Ecclesiastes, you really see some interesting lessons. But Ecclesiastes 12, we get to the punchline. We get to the conclusion of it all. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Discipline yourself to keep God's commandments. Solomon had done it all. Wild parties, alcohol, expensive clothes, nice jewelry, beautiful palaces, wives, concubines, you name it, he had it. He had done it. He tried it all. He sowed his wild oats. He met rulers from around the world. He made judgments when people had disagreements that couldn't be solved by others. God gave him more wisdom than anyone else that had lived. And after all that, the conclusion is, fear God and keep His commandments. Sadly, we read in 1 Kings that Solomon didn't do that himself, did he? He allowed himself to be pulled away from following God when he was old. Will that happen to us? Are we willing to sprint when the distance is unknown? Will we stay disciplined to the end? That's what's needed to reach our goal. So, there's a difference here. Are these concepts at odds? Is motivation and discipline, are they at odds? Or do they work together? Is one better than the other? Well, I answer that question and say, I believe we need both. I believe in our lives, and especially in our spiritual lives, we need both. We need to be motivated by the promises of God. We need to be motivated by the promise of eternal life in God's family. We need to be motivated that the promise that this physical life isn't all there is, that this is temporary, and the sufferings of this life aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. We need that vision in the future. It's a vital part of our spiritual journey. We need that motivation. But just as important is the discipline to do the work that God has laid before us, to live His way of life, to strive day in and day out, to swim upstream, to be different, to be odd in this world, because the trials of life are going to come at times, and that can temporarily impact our motivation at times. But when we're disciplined, we keep doing the things that need to be done. We need both. Jim Rohn was an entrepreneur and a motivational speaker, and he was quoted as saying, "Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments." Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. We need the vision of the kingdom, but we must be disciplined to do the work. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. I have a colleague at work that has applied for and interviewed for a promotion 3 different times. And he's a good employee. He's experienced, he's knowledgeable, he's hardworking. It's not that he hasn't been qualified, but each time he's come up just shy. He's come up seemingly in second place 3 different times for a promotion. The first time it happened, I think it was hard, but not devastating for him. The second time, it was a little bit harder. And then the third time, well, that was really tough because he really felt like he was prepared. He really felt like he was qualified. He really felt like he had earned it. But what I'll tell you is this, to his credit, that each time, even though he hasn't gotten the promotion, each time he's gotten back up. And after a short period of time of frustration, he's got back up. He's picked himself up and gotten right back to work to do everything he knows he's supposed to do. To get back out there, to do his job, to work, to get in front of customers, to help folks. That's discipline, isn't it? And that's the same type of discipline we need to have in our lives, isn't it? When the trials come, it's going to be hard. It may knock us down, but we need that discipline, that ability to push through and do what needs to be done. Final verse, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Translation. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. We need motivation, but we also need discipline in our lives. We have to have them both. If we keep the vision at the forefront of our hearts and our minds, and if we discipline ourselves to do the work every day that needs to be done, we will reach the goal. Let's stay motivated and let's stay disciplined.